read in chapter 1, verse 3 of this book, Ephesians, that all spiritual blessings, whether in time, that is in this life, or in eternity, forever, all spiritual blessings, whether we consider being chosen, as Paul wrote, being predestinated, being adopted, being accepted. I like that, don't you? Accepted by God. Redeemed, which gives us the forgiveness of sins. Not one, as we pointed out in the reading, not one of those precious, rare, priceless blessings of grace are realized, are experienced, are known, except in Christ Jesus. They don't exist anywhere else. There is no such thing as being accepted by God without Jesus Christ. It's impossible. It's impossible. They never can be known outside of Christ. Peter wrote to believers, give all diligence. Don't be lazy about this. It's too important, he said. Give all diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Why didn't Peter say your election and your calling sure? Because you can't know you're elect until God calls you by His grace. When He calls you, those whom He foredoomed, predestined, He also called, Paul tells us in Romans 8. We can't know those wonderful blessings of God's grace outside of Jesus Christ. As we read in John 3, 36. He that hath the Son, he that has the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ hath eternal life. He that has the Son has life. But he that hath not the Son hath not life. Then what does he have? The wrath of God abides on him. Not that it will abide on him. It abides on him right now outside of Jesus Christ. All but believers, they stand complete before God. But only, again, in Christ. You are complete, Paul wrote in Galatians. Complete. Without lacking anything God requires. Doesn't that feel like a nice, warm blanket just to wrap yourself in on a cold night? Complete in Him. Lacking nothing that a holy God demands. And included in all those spiritual blessings is this one. Go to chapter 4. You thought we were going to stay in chapter 1. I want to look at one verse of Scripture in chapter 4 of this book. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It speaks of the sweet reality, the sweet experience of God's forgiveness. Forgiveness. What a blessed word. The title of my message is Forgiveness Assured. When we read the text, you can see how true that is. Verse 32, chapter 4. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. And he gives this as an example of doing so. And what better could he give? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. For Christ's sake. Oh, that makes it forgiveness assured. I almost called this message, or rather the title of it, Forgiveness Guaranteed. Forgiveness Guaranteed. And that wouldn't have been too strong. I might call it that yet. Bobby posts the messages on Free Grace. We might change the title to Forgiveness Guaranteed. That's not too strong. That doesn't go too far. Not with this attachment to it. We receive emails and they'll have an attachment like the bulletin I send out. So we open that attachment. This is the attachment of God's assured forgiveness for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, my soul, how much sure could it be? How much certain could it be if it's for Christ's sake? God forgives us for Christ's sake. He promised His Son He would. In that everlasting covenant of grace, He promised His Son who stood before the world began. That's what the book says. That's not what modern religion says, but my soulless, don't be influenced by that. They don't have anything right. But God says, the book says, teaches such a thing as the everlasting covenant of grace. And in that covenant, God promised His Son, if He would fulfill all the stipulations of that covenant required of Him and God put up on Him, that in return, He would get Him the heathen for His inheritance. He would bring in time all those that Christ redeemed to the Son, giving them life and faith in Christ, and bring them all the way to glory. For Christ's sake, for Christ's sake. Because of who He is. So God Himself said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son. On more than one occasion, several times. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Couldn't be more pleased. Couldn't demand any more than He's given. It's enough. And He proved, as I've told you many times, He proved beyond the shadow of a doubt His perpetual, everlasting satisfaction with His Son's life and death when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places far above. We read in chapter 1, all power, all principality, every name that is named. Oh no, not at the name of Caesar or Trump or any other fleshly man, but at the name of Jesus, the God-man, God said every knee is going to bow. Oh, I know there are stubborn, hard-hearted rebels that say, I will not bow. I was one. I will not bow. I won't bow. Is there nobody going to make me bow? Thank God I was wrong. And everyone's going to bow either in this life or when they're ushered into the presence of God Almighty. Before the great white throne of immaculate righteousness, strict justice, every knee is going to bow to King Jesus before He says, depart from me. There is no question about that. There's no doubt about that. But for Christ's sake, because of who He is, what He did, what God promised Him, that makes forgiveness sure. Look at verse 2 of chapter 5, just below our text. And walk in love, children of God, walk in love, as Christ also had loved us, and had given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. None sweeter to God than that savor, the aroma of the sacrifice of His darling Son. That's why every lamb slain, every sacrifice offered morning, evening. God saw in that a type, a picture of His Son. He said, could have nothing more pleasing than that. You've heard this said, and I have too, and I wouldn't find fault with it. No, not in the light of God's Word. But it says, God must be just. You've heard that. He must be just, and He may be merciful. He must be just, and He may be merciful. But in the light of what we just read, for Christ's sake, God must be merciful too. That's right. For Christ's sake, God must be merciful. He promised that He would. For Christ's sake, in view of His Son, in whom he found satisfaction, perfection, everything he demanded, he found in his Son. So for Christ's sake, there's no maybe about it. He will be merciful to sinners. Is that not what he said to Moses? Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "Moses," as he passed before him, "I will be merciful. I will be merciful." Oh my soul, if sinners weren't blind, if they weren't completely dead, not needing a little shove in the right direction, but needing raised from spiritual death, if they weren't in such darkness, oh, they would stop in their tracks and say, "Oh, the wonder of it. Are you telling me God Almighty is determined to show mercy? Oh, why not for me? Why not to me? Have mercy on me, thou son of David," as Bartimaeus prayed. Concerning God's forgiveness, I want to consider about three things. Concerning God's forgiveness, first of all, it's needed. Oh, I pity the man who doesn't know that. You say, "Oh, Larry, I can't believe you took that as your first point. God's forgiveness is needed. Everybody knows that." Is that so? Is that so? When's the last time you talked to anybody that did? When is the last time? How long has it been? Can you even remember? I can't. How long has it been since you talked to a sinner that the cry of their heart was, "Man, I need mercy. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is important. I've got to have God's mercy." Mercy's needed. For all have sinned. All. No exceptions. And have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said. And I ask you the same question. I put His word before us this morning. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul in the process of adopting this world's philosophy? You're just going around once. Get all you can get. Grab all you can get hold of. You only live one time. Party it up. And lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I wonder. You here this morning? Anybody here that doesn't know Christ, what are you giving in exchange for your soul? What is it? A bubble? Remember those little soapy things you would buy, liquid, and have that little tool in it, that little wand that would, I guess they still sell them, don't they? And man, bubbles. Oh, they're so pretty. Pop, they're gone. Your life's a vapor. James said it's a bubble that appears for a little while and it's gone. Oh, but you have a soul that's going to live forever. In Psalm 130, turn there with me if you will. Oh, mercy needed. Needed. Psalm 130, verse 1. This sounds like a man that realized his need of God's mercy. I like to find him. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." He doesn't sound like he's bragging, does he? He doesn't sound demanding. He sounds like a beggar before the throne of God. Sounds like he doesn't feel that God owes him anything except justice. Mercy, mercy. "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" You ever thought about that? You ever in your life given any serious thought to that? How can I, a sinner, stand before a holy God? How can God be to me a hell-deserving rebel anything other than a consuming fire? How can God be just? He would have to cease to be just if He lets me off the hook. I deserve His wrath. Every breath I take, every thought I have is another reason why God should Send me to hell. Oh, I'm in the depths. I need a miracle. I'm in a pit. And I can't get out. I can't get out. My will won't get me out. My morality won't get me out. Religion won't get me out. Well, who's going to bring me up out of this pit? Are you still looking at this? No. Oh, look here. But, verse 4, but, oh, what glorious good news this must have been to that sinner in the pit of his own spiritual death when he hears, but there is forgiveness with thee. Oh, God, is it so? Is it true? Can it be? You delight to show mercy. Oh, depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Oh, is that so? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Feared. As we read a portion of Brother Scott Richardson's article in your bulletin. Feared. Oh, that's a very prominent element of true worship. Fear, not a slavish fear, not a worried fear, fear. Like the children of Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea, they sang a song of praise to God. And they stood with holy wonder. They stood in awe of Him. And they said, who is a God like unto our God? Fearful in praises. Glorious in holiness, doing wonders. Wow, they said. What a God. Doing wonders. That's what it is to stand in fear of God. Reverence, adoration, wonder. What a God. What a God. And God forgives sinners for Christ's sake. But I ask you this, where is the sinner that thinks so? That feels his need of God's forgiveness. John and I had a conversation a few weeks ago along this very line, this subject, about sinners feeling their need of God's forgiveness. One man wrote, he died in 1912. I don't know when he said this, but oh, it could have been written today. It could have been asked. It's like he was looking through the telescope of time at this day. He said, I consider the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Jesus Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, heaven without hell. Man, doesn't that sound like 2019 to you? Does it? Doesn't it? Jesus is panhandled like he's a beggar at the beck and call of man's so-called free will. Will you please do little Jesus a favor? You don't want to go to hell, do you? Well, then accept Jesus. Just let Him be your fire escape out of hell. How dishonoring. What an insult to my great God and Savior to represent Him in such a horrible fashion. Oh, no, 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 no. He's not my little buddy. He's not my spare tire. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if I've never bowed to Him, if I've never bowed to Him as the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm lost and I'm going to hell. I'm not a carnal Christian, I'm lost. That's just the fact. You search the Word of God. Was there ever a sinner come to Jesus Christ that didn't bow to Him? Ask the rich young ruler how that worked out. He wanted to go to heaven, but he didn't want to bow to Jesus Christ. You know what happened to him. And that's what happens to everyone. This is what I'm saying. And I can't think, and this is why I tend to mention this so often? Because I see it all around us, children of God. I see it all around us. I don't want us to be infected with it. There's a danger out there. My soul, they're telling lies on God is what Scott said. But this is what I'm saying. Joseph Hart expressed it better than I can. To understand these things are right, this grand distinction should be known. Though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. Ask them. Ask them. To such as these, our Lord was sent. They're only sinners who repent. What comfort can a Savior bring to those who never felt their woe? A sinner is a sacred thing. He's rare, unusual, hard to find. Why? The Holy Ghost has made him so. New life from Him we must receive before for sin we rightly grieve. Salvation in every degree, in every way, is of the Lord. This faithful saying let us own. Well worthy 'tis to be believed that Christ into the world came down that sinners might by Him be saved. Sinners are high in His esteem, and sinners highly value Him. Now, another thought about forgiveness assured. Joseph Hart's hymn brings us to this point. Forgiveness wanted. Forgiveness wanted. I mean wanted more than you want to eat. Wanted more than anything in this world. Until a sinner's brought to that, he's not going to have it. Not going to happen. I mean, I need God's forgiveness, John, more than I need anything else. More than I need anything else. When David wanted forgiveness, when God's faithful prophet came to David concerning his sin, you know the story with Bathsheba. He thought he covered it up, committed adultery, murder. God's faithful prophet came in and said, David, you're the man. By your actions, you've caused God to be blasphemed. Horrible. Horrible. You're the man. And man, the realization of that flooded over David's soul like a flood. He said, oh, my sin has found me out. I hid it from everyone, but I didn't hide it from God. Read Psalm 51. Read David's attitude. He didn't say, well, I think I'll make a decision for Jesus and everything will be all right. It's no big deal. I might just lose the jewel in my crown. Oh, God. Oh, God, he prayed. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, oh, my God, and done this terrible evil in thy sight. Oh, God, purge me, and I'll be clean. Forgive me of my sin. Oh, God. Please, please, please restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Ah, David represents a man who felt his need of forgiveness. Nothing else mattered. That rich fool that lived in plenty and died without Christ and lifted up his eyes in hell. Man, he got serious, didn't he? But he was too late for mercy. Abraham, have mercy. Mercy. There's no mercy. It's too late. Too late. Mercy needed. Revelation 22 and 11. Oh, what words. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. I am in one of two states at this very moment, right now before God. Every one of us are. I'm either righteous, having been justified by God, having been born of God, or I am unjust and filthy. As I live, I'll stand before God in one of those two states. As I live, I'll die. Righteous and holy or unjust and filthy. And as I die, so shall I rise for eternity. I will either be righteous and holy in heaven or unjust and filthy in hell. Is that not what the text I just read to you said? Oh, therefore, do you want forgiveness? Oh, what is that worth? Those who have been made aware by God's grace that they're the sinner, they don't talk like folks who don't know that. They'll say, well, folks that really aren't concerned, they're flippant about it. Well, I'm just as good as my neighbor. I'm not worried about it. They're all hypocrites down there. If they go to heaven, I am too. No, you don't find that kind of attitude to a sinner that's been stripped by God's Holy Spirit. You don't find that to one who's been convicted. They don't look at anybody else. They look at themselves. And they say, I'm the sinner. I don't have to look outside myself. I'm the worst sinner on the face of the earth. Oh, to such a one as that, the Lord was sent. They're only sinners who repent. A grain of heart ease, oh, is worth more than a ton of gold. For the sinner seeking mercy, oh, when justice called for payment, it was more than I could give. Oh, but mercy. Mercy. Sweet, free mercy. Smiled upon me, saying, I forgive. I wonder how it sounded in the ears of that poor outcast leper. And his condition is a picture of what we are by nature. Unclean, unclean. God's law said he's unclean. Cast him out. Cast him out. Like Adam, like our daddy was cast out of the garden. Jesus came by and he fell down. Lord, can you imagine how sincere he must have been? How serious he must. What else mattered? Huh? Do you think a big house mattered to him? Being popular, do you think that mattered to him? No. He was dying. He was unclean. He was condemned. He was outcast. And with his whole heart, he cried, Lord, if you will, you could make me clean. And he's thinking, oh, willing. He can, but will he? And can you imagine what joy replaced his anguish and grief when Jesus Christ reaches toward him? I wonder how long it's been since anybody touched that filthy leper and touched him and at the same time said, I will. Oh, glory to God, I will. I'm not thinking about a leper right now. Not that leper anyway. I'm thinking about this leper. This leper. I picture in my mind's eye about a 22-23-year-old rebel, and you want a picture of a mess, you're looking at him. Weighed about 120 pounds because I didn't eat much except drugs. You stay skinny on that diet. And then God Almighty, little did I know, had determined to have mercy on me. And He got me lost. I'd never been lost in my life. Oh, Larry, you've been lost all your life. Oh, but I didn't know. It didn't matter to me. But
God, God lost.
One time, I was hitchhiking. I didn't have two dimes to rub together. And man, I was under such conviction of sin, God telling me, you're the sinner. I thought, man, everybody that sees me knows what a wretch I am. So I quit hitchhiking, Carlos, and started walking. And I got on the railroad tracks. Nobody could see me there. And I think I've told you before, every railroad tie that I put my feet on seemed to shout back, lost. You're lost. You're lost. I'd wake up in the morning, that's all I heard ringing in my mind. You're lost. You're lost. I'd lay down at night and try to sleep, and I couldn't. Larry Chris, you're lost, and you're going to hell. And there's nothing I could do. Somebody would have said, Larry, I'll give you a lot of money. What? I don't need money. I need mercy. I need forgiveness. I remember hearing about Rolf Barner, who was preaching one time, and he finished his message. And two young men got up and came up to where he was, standing there. And I understand Rolf was pretty rough. He said, what do you want? What do you want? What do y'all want? And one said, rather obviously not that concerned, I want to be saved. He said, go back and sit down. He went back and sat down. The other one just stood there. And the tears just rolling down his cheeks. What do you want? Oh, Mr. Barnett, I want mercy. I want mercy. I need God's grace. I'm lost. I'm lost. And old Barnard said, well, young man, you know, I think God might have something for you. Oh, yeah. God delights to show mercy. Like he did to David. After Nathan said, thou art a man, he said, but God has put away your sin. He's put away your sin. Oh, the son of David would bear his sins away, David's, like he does every sinner. And God forgave him for Christ's sake. After that, he wrote Psalm 32, and he said, oh, let me tell you something. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Wow. That's a different tune from Psalm 51, is it not? Oh, blessed is that man. How sweet is forgiveness? Ask Peter. Ask Peter. We see Peter standing out in front of the other disciples when the Lord Jesus Christ, just before he was arrested, told them, you're all going to deny me tonight. You're all going to forsake me. And Peter said, well, they probably will, but not me. Not me. I'll die with you. I'll go with you to death. I'll never deny you. And then shortly, when the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter's substitute, stood before the high priest, mocked, beaten, humiliated, at the same time Peter was standing not far away at the campfire of the Lord's enemies saying, I don't even know the man. Don't know who he is. Don't have any acquaintance with him. And we read in Luke 22, at the Lord turned and looked at him. And then we read, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. And I believe Peter wept bitterly for 3 days until he heard that glorious news. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's told us, go tell my disciples, and Peter. And Peter. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, when the Lord was risen, he appeared first to Peter. Oh, what sweet, sweet. I can only imagine that meeting, can't you? Peter experienced again the sweet reality that his sins, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sins, not in part, but the whole, are nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Last of all, about God's forgiveness, our text says he hath forgiven you. Past tense. God's forgiveness for Christ's sake is everlasting. It's full. It's free. It's unchanging. Christ in him makes it so. As our Lord himself said on one occasion in that self-righteous Pharisee's house, he gave the parable when that Pharisee looked down his nose at that poor woman who was a sinner. And he said, Simon, there were two debtors. They both owed a debt. And they both couldn't pay it. And when they had nothing to pay, a bankrupt sinner, he freely forgave them both. That's God's forgiveness. Full, free, unchanging, everlasting. John, there was no reason God should have saved me in the first place. There'll be no reason why he shouldn't keep me saved. Because it's always been for Christ's sake, so I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm redeemed. I'm accepted. I'm reconciled to God. I'm complete in Christ, and I always will be. Glory to his name. Those he adopts into his family, he never unadopts or unchooses or unsaves. That's not possible. Thank God. Forgiveness brings peace. Remember Psalm 85, and I'll come to the close. Psalm 85 and 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The New Testament commentary on that is this. Romans 3 and 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justice satisfied demands the sinner, or justice satisfied demands the sinner be justified. Isaiah 32 and 12. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I like that, don't you? Isaiah 32 and 17. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Oh, how sweet the trust in Jesus. Just from sin and self decease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Oh, sweet forgiveness. God's forgiveness, God's mercy for Christ's sake. Let me close quoting a couple of stanzas of another hymn by Mr. Fortner. How blessed is he whose trespasses has freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. Blessed he to whom Jehovah will not impute his sin, who has a guiltless spirit, whose heart is pure within. While I kept guilty silence, my strength was spent with grief. Thy hand was heavy on me, my soul found no relief. But when I owned my trespass, my sin hid not from thee. When I confessed transgression, then thou forgavest me. The sorrows of the wicked in number shall abound, but those that trust Jehovah, his mercy shall surround. Then in the Lord be joyful. In song lift up your voice. Be glad in God, you righteous. Rejoice, ye saints. Rejoice. God bless you. God bless you.